Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am so excited still, because tonight we will be continuing our study from the book of Genesis. This study will provide a patriarchal look at the women and men in its telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of time or eras: the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And my precious brothers and sisters, I highly suggest, so boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, meaning your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or a regular Bible, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers, comments, or inquiries if you have any to offer. Now, before we get started, I want to once again personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using. Thank you for that. In fact, there was a comment made from one of our listeners about the patriarchal era, where the men, because it was in the book of Genesis at that time, were considered only the patriarchs. Now, we know, and women were matriarchs, which they are still today. But in today's dispensation, women have become patriarchs also, especially those who adopt and those who are widows and in those different categories. Now, as our theme song from the show suggests, the question of the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through Solomon, "For God giveth man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he gives travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26, if anyone would like to record that. Now, the promise is if you're good in God's sight, and then you will receive the wisdom and knowledge and joy. God said through the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. That's in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. And again, the promise is if you seek, then you will find. And if you call upon the Lord, he will respond. God said through King David, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. That's in Psalms 27, verse 14. And again, the promise is, if you wait on the Lord, he will strengthen thy heart. Now to the study. We're going to be looking at instruction number 46 out of 56 in this series. And the text that we're reading from, again, is the book of Genesis. And it's chapter 38, verse 11 through 26. If you have your Bibles, open them up, or your devices, get them ready. Genesis chapter 38, verse 11 through 26. And the question or the instruction that we're drawing from this text is Judah and Tamar. Now, the reason that we're looking at this instruction is because out of every chapter of the Bible, I'm taking at least one instruction. And this is what is covered in Genesis chapter 38, verse 11 through 26. And this is how it reads. Remember, Judah and Tamar. It says, then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now, what happened was, Judah was in disguise because his first two sons had been killed by God for disrespect. And his third son, he didn't want anything to happen. So he did not, what he did was he told Tamar a lie. Verse 12 says, and in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was confronted and went up into the sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Herah the Adumelite, and it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garment, she covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an opening place, which is in the way of Timnath, and she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. So she discovered that she was deceived. Verse 15 says, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it to her, and came unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away, laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. And then he asked the men that were at that place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot on this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass, about 3 months after, that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also become is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burned. When she was brought forth, she sent to her her father-in-law, saying, by the way, whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose these are, the signet and bracelet and staff. And Judah acknowledging them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her not again. So that is telling us of what happened between Judah and Tamar. Now what we want to do is we want to go to our complement, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 through 31. And this is what we, after the break.
Hear this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you're talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Asking for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks, he thinks, he talks, he feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. Pray. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seek him. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He holds the cattle on 1,000 hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing is impossible to you.
Program Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Oh. Okay, here we go again. Now, we want to look at our complement in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 27 through 31. And that is going to help us. Again, it's the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 27 through 31. And this is going to compare with what we just read about Judah and Tamar. Deception is the key word. This is what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye built the tombs of the prophets and garnished the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. This is telling us that the prophets, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those others in authority had deceived the Israelites. And that is the deception similar to what happened with Judah and Tamar. So now what we want to look at is, what does this instruction mean spiritually in our lives? And this is what it should mean, my brothers, that we must be careful. We must try and test the spirits of every man so that we don't get tricked. That's the bottom line, because there are many that are going to say, look here and look there. And what Jesus warned us about in his prophecy in Matthew and in Luke, that don't go with them because they are deceivers. Now, if you have any comments, get them to me by email, or if you're in the chat room, let the host know so we can consider what you have to offer. Now we will go to instruction number 47. And of course, we're going back to the text, Bible, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 6, and verses 21 through 23. That is what we're going to be reading from. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 through 6, and then 21 through 23. And this is what we're going to take from it, the instruction, the good examples of Joseph. This is what we want to see when we start our reading, the good examples of Joseph. And this is what the Bible says. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, this is what verse 21 through 23 says. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, the reason that that occurred was because Joseph ended up in prison for a false accusation against him. Anyway, verse 22 says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. So we're looking at a good example. Joseph being godly, staying within the laws and commandments of God, whatever he did prospered. Now what we want to do is we want to go to our complement. We want to go back to the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, and see how it compares. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. If you have your Bibles open, fine. Get your devices ready, because this is what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So from that, we understand that Jesus was given by God because of his good example, coming to do the will of God, that if we would follow Jesus, we would be prosperous. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives. That Jesus is our prosperity with God and our blessings this side of eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. So if you are seeking the kingdom of God, that is what Joseph was doing, and that caused him to be prosperous in what he did. And we follow suit, we'll be prosperous also. Now let's go to the next instruction. It is instruction number 48. We're going to go back, of course, to Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, and we will also read verse 13 through 19. That is the book of Genesis. Open up your Bibles in your sources that you use for the Bible app, if you have that, laptops or whatever. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 5. And this is what we're going to be gleaning from the verses. Joseph's encounter with Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. This is, again, something that Joseph, because he was favored by God, was able to perform. Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 5 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two officers, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in that ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, and each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison." So now this is what happened when we go to verse 13 through 19 to give you more information on it. It says, "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner which thou wast his butler." So the dream was interpreted by Joseph, and it was a good report. Verse 14 says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that should put me into the dungeon." So he asked the butler to mention to Pharaoh the good favor. And this is what verse 16 says. "When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good," and we'll continue after the break.
I've always been told how average I can be. Always been criticized about being average. But I want to tell you something. I stand here before you, before all of these people, not listening to those words, but telling myself every single day to shoot for the stars, to be the best that I can be. Good enough isn't good enough if it can be better. And better isn't good enough if it can be best. That's when you hit rock bottom, remember this. While you're struggling, rock bottom can also be a great foundation on which to build and on which to grow. Person that gets up off the canvas and keeps growing, that's the person that will continue to grow their influence. This woman was the finest woman I'd ever seen in my life. We're at this dance, and I find out her name is Trina Williams from Lompoc, California. And we're all dancing, and we're just excited. And I decide in the middle of dancing with her that I would ask her for her phone number. The next day, we walked to Baskin and Robbins ice cream parlor. My friends couldn't believe it. This has been 40 years ago, and my friends still can't believe it. We go on a second date and a third date. And a fourth date. We go together for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. By now, Trina's a senior in college. So now it's time to propose. We get married. We have a few children. Our lives are great. One day, Trina finds a lump in her left breast. Breast cancer. 6 years after that diagnosis, me and my two little boys walked up to mommy's casket. And for 2 years, my heart didn't beat. If it wasn't for my faith in God, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it wasn't for those two little boys, there would have been no reason for which to go on. I was completely lost. That was rock bottom. You know what sustained me? The wisdom of a third grade dropout. We're at the casket in College Station, Texas. I'd never seen my dad cry, but this time I saw my dad cry. That was his daughter. Trina was his daughter, not his daughter-in-law. And I'm right behind my father, about to see her for the last time on this earth. And my father shared three words with me that changed my life right there at the casket. It would be the last lesson he would ever teach me. He said, "Son, just stand. Just stand. You keep standing. You keep standing. No matter how rough the sea, you keep standing. And I'm not talking about just water. You keep standing. No matter what, you don't give up." I learned that lesson from a third grade dropout who was a cook at Cal Maritime. He said, "Boy, you keep standing. No matter what, you keep standing. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up."
Welcome back to our show. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go again. Now, what we're going to do is let you read the rest of Genesis chapter 40, verse 13 through 19, and I'll just highlight it. The instruction again is Joseph's encounter with his with Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. So you know the butler got a good report. The baker did not get a good report or interpretation on his dream. But this is our complement. We're going to see what the New Testament says that compares and agrees with what transpired in the Old Testament in Genesis. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 18. Again, that's Luke. Turn your Bibles to Luke or your Bible apps on your devices to Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 18. And this is what the complement says that compares with this encounter that Joseph had with the butler and the baker. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leopards, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole." So this is what is the comparison, that what happened in Joseph's instance, the same happened in Jesus's instance. The 10 were healed, and that because of their faith is what we're connecting this complement to or with it. Now what we want to do is this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, okay? It says we should pay attention to dreams or visions or parables or prophecies, trying and testing them to ensure that our understanding is what it should be. So that is the intent of this instruction, is that there are men and women out there that are anointed, giving, they share to each of us, but it's not meant for all of us. We should be careful about what we hear, but we shouldn't discount what we hear. All right, we're going to go to instruction number 49. We're going back to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 37 through 40. That is the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and we're going to look at verse 37 through 40. And the instruction that we're going to draw from out of this text is Joseph rewarded by Pharaoh. That is what we're going to focus on as we read the text. And this is what Genesis 41, verse 37 through 40 says. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in my throne will I be greater than thou. So we can see that Pharaoh rewarded Joseph for the interpretation of the dream that he gave him about what was happening in the land of Egypt at that time. Now we're going to go to our complement and see what the New Testament has to compare with in this instance. We're going to go to the book of Matthew again, chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. And this is what Jesus says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that is the reward that we should be acknowledging. God, Jesus tells us, like Joseph gave the dream interpretation to Pharaoh, Jesus has been given the witness for God. And he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, then the rest will be added to you. So this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That the kingdom of God is what we should be going after first and foremost, then his righteousness. That is the instructions interpretation for us. Now let's go to instruction number 50. And we're going to go back to the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 41, verse 45, verse 46, and verse 50 through 52. And this is, again, the instruction or the book that we're drawing from, Genesis chapter 41, verse 45, 46, 50 through 52. And the instruction that we're going to be drawing from is going to be Joseph marries outside of the family of Israel. Now, my brothers and sisters, pay attention to this. This is critical because what is happening is that we know Joseph is going to marry outside of the family, and that's not what was done in those days. So this is what chapter 41, verse 45 and 46 says. And it looks like we're almost ready for another break. So I'm going to wait before I continue. But just to mention that in those days, remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all went to family to receive their spouses. In this instance, Joseph marries outside of the family, and it is still recognized by God. That's the significance of this instruction. And when we return after the break, then we'll get into more detail.
If there are over 7 billion people on earth, then why do I feel so alone? If there is someone for everyone, then why does it feel like it's just me? If I have friends, then how come I can end up feeling so friendless? If I have family, then why do I sometimes feel like a family of one? These are some of the questions that I've had to ask myself at times, but I have never seemed to get an answer until I look into the Word of God. The truth is, if you know Jesus, you are not alone. You are not alone. no matter how many times you have walked by yourself. God says that He will be with you wherever you go. No matter how many times you have fallen and had to pick yourself up, Jesus says that He knows you and that He laid down His life for you. You are not alone. No matter how hard things have gotten, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You are not alone. No matter how long you've been waiting, Jesus says that He is coming back, and until then He has sent His Holy Spirit to live in you. You are not alone. No matter what your situation has turned into, Jesus promises that you can find rest in Him. You are not alone. No matter who has deserted you, Jesus says that He will be with you always. You are not alone. But the Bible does show us what loneliness is like. Utter loneliness is what Jesus experienced as He hung on the cross. Loneliness, sin, death, and separation are what He overcame, so that we could be with God, so that when we repent and turn to Him, we can rest in His presence, so that we can experience His friendship forever.
Now back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay. Continuing with Joseph marrying outside the family of Israel, which is the instruction. This is what Genesis chapter 41, verse 45 says. And Pharaoh called Joseph his name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, prince of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. Now we're going to go to verse 50 and 52, and this is what it says. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the year of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of Anan, bare for unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and in my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God had caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So we can see that those two sons were a part of the tribes of Israel. But we'll get to that when we get to later on in other chapters of the book of Genesis. But now what we want to do is go to the complement, and we want to go to John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, to see what the complement agrees to or compares with in this instance that we just read from Genesis. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16, and this is what it says. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now this is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. This is the key. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So this is where the comparison agrees. We know that Ephraim and Manasseh were not the sons of Jacob, but the sons of Joseph. But yet they became part of the tribes of Israel. And we know from reading this that Jesus the Christ says that there is going to be another fold that He is going to bring. So it's just not going to be the Christians. It's, or we could say, not just the Christian group or faith that you practice. Now, this is what the instruction means to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be very careful how we treat other Christians, for sure, Catholics, Methodists, Churches of Christ, and etc., because we don't know the complete entirety of the other fold that Jesus is going to bring. And even the nation of Israel is going to become into oneness with God eventually. And so that could be a part of the other fold, or that could be the other fold. But anyway, that's what we should be careful of when we are dealing with the other than who we practice our faith with. Now let's go to the next instruction. It's going to be taken from Genesis chapter 43, and we're going to be reading verse 23 through 25. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 43, and we're going to be reading verse 23 through 25. And the instruction that we're going to glean from this is Joseph entreats his brothers. So this is what the text says about that. It says, "And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. This is what Joseph did after he tried and tested his brothers. "And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready to receive Joseph and eat meat with him at his table." Now, this is what the New Testament complement tells us about that. In John chapter 13, verse 4 through 7 is where we want to go. John chapter 13, verse 4 through 17. This is what the New Testament says. "He raised from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself." This is Jesus doing this. "And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel therewith. He was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt not never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash not thy feet, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto the Lord, Not my feet only, but also my head and hands. And then Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but to cleanse every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Not all are clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye are well, so I am. If I then am your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." So that is what the connection is, that Joseph entreated his brothers and Jesus entreated his apostles. And so this comes more to this than just what Jesus did with his apostles. He is entreating us all in that instance. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we must care one for another, and our God will not care for us. That is the second greatest commandment: love thy neighbor as thyself. And we know that Jesus also said, and do unto others as you would they would do unto you. So with that is the second, or the meaning complete. And what we are going to do is, from time to time, I have these instructions or these exercises that I like to take the students through. And this is one of those times that we're going to do that. And the instruction, or the exercise, or I should say the drill, that we're going to be engaged in this evening is involving the gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost. And what I want to do is identify the scripture where this is given to us, and then go into the drills that we should be practicing. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that is where we're going to identify the gifts and fruits, or the gifts at least first, of the Holy Ghost. And we'll get into those details. And then we're going to go to Galatians. If you write that down, or put a marker in your Bible, or on your source that you're using, your device, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. That is what we're going to read. And we're going to take that in its total when we get through with the break. But this is the drill. There are 9 gifts that the Holy Ghost gives us according to Paul. And there are 9 fruit that gives us according to Paul. And those are the ones that we're going to use for our exercises. So once we come back from the break, we'll go into the details.
There are 2 types of Christians. There are those who think following God means we're immune to bad things. They have a perception that being a Christian isolates us from trouble. Then there are others who accept that the Word of God tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In fact, it tells us that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. And these type of Christians take heed of His Word and accept that difficulties and trouble will come, but at least they will face them with God. There are other Christians who look at a storm and say, God, make it stop. Make it go away. God, I don't like the rain. I don't like the pain. Then there are others who look at the same storm and say, order my steps, Lord. As I go through this storm, help me to grow. Help me to grow through this storm as I go through it. Some Christians pray and say, God, this is too hard. For others, they pray and say, God, give me the strength to bear this. Some will pray and say, Lord, I can't take much more of this. I can't withstand. Others will pray for supernatural powers to endure. One man will say, why me? But I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to. But another man will say, not my will, God, but your will. There are Christians that are halfway believers. They believe in God. They know the story of Jesus, but they don't walk with any power. But we are called to be Christians who believe in God, called to have a relationship with Jesus, and called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be a Christian who says, even though I'm scared, even though I don't know how everything will turn out, if you send me, and if you're with me, I'll go. Be a Christian who will take on anything, knowing that God will get the glory. Just look at Paul. He was no stranger to difficulties and suffering. He is a man who was cast in prison, faced with the real possibility of death many times. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and in many uncomfortable situations. But he still said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. When God goes with you, you don't need all the answers. You don't need a blueprint. It may not be picture perfect, but I would rather do the will of God or have God on my side than be comfortable. Be a Christian with spiritual maturity. Be a Christian who lets God lead. Be a believer that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to establish a baseline for this drill. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It says, now we're going to read verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Then we're going to go to verse 8, and it says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's two gifts we just identified. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That's four. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That identifies all nine of the drills or the gifts that we will be acting or we'll be talking about practicing. And this is critical. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. But all of these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. What this is telling us is that we don't automatically, corporately, have the gifts, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are given to us severally as willed by the Holy Ghost. But I believe from what Paul has taught us in another section of his writing in Corinthians, that we should all desire spiritual gifts. So I believe that personally and privately, we can receive all of them, but publicly and corporately, we cannot. So now we've established the base, and before we go into the details of the drill on the gifts, I want to go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, and listen to what Paul says about the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. And this is what the text reads. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, one, joy, two, peace, three, long-suffering, four, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is all nine of the fruit that is identified by Paul. And this is very important, my brothers and sisters. Against such, there is no law. So what Paul is telling us in this instance, not as with the gifts, but with the fruit, that we can privately, personally, publicly, and corporately have all of them that we want. And what I have found in my studies, that our salvation guarantors, if you will, or our salvation sureties, they are in the fruit of the Spirit. And we can have as much of them to guarantee us salvation as we desire if we appropriate them. So that is the base for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you before we continue that there are more gifts than Paul identified, and there are more fruit than Paul identified. That is something that is in the context, the entirety of basic instructions before leaving Earth. And when we get to those studies, I will bring those out to you. But right now, we're just going to focus on what Paul has given us. So we're going to look at the gifts first, and then we'll go to the fruit. So the gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now we can, if you didn't get a chance to write those down, you know that they're identified in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so what I'd like to do is give you some scriptures to substantiate the drill when we get to that. So this is what I want you to identify, write down if you will, for wisdom. The scripture is Proverbs 3, verse 13 through 18. And the complement is the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Those are the two that identify wisdom. Knowledge, the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 6. And the complement in the New Testament is 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Faith, we're going to identify the scripture as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. I use two, but both of them are complement texts, readings. The gift of healing, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 and verse 5. And the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 11 through 16. We look at miracles. It's going to be, again, two complementary verses. It's going to be Mark, chapter 9, verse 39 through 40, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 10 through 11. Prophecy, we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 20 through 22. And Jeremiah through 28 through 9. Discerning of spirits, we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Diver kinds of tongues, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and John is the complement, chapter 14, verse 17. And interpretation of tongues, we have two of the complements, John chapter 16, verse 13 through 14, and John chapter 15, verse 26 through 27. Now, I'm going to ask you before we get into the drills that some of what I gave you, even though there were two scriptures, some were just New Testament scriptures, and they weren't Old Testament comparisons. I did not find in my research to date that connection. And so if you have something you can share with me, I would definitely wish you would get that to me so I could have them. So now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the gift of wisdom. We know that the Bible teaches us that God giveth wisdom, and knowledge and understanding comes from the mouth of God. And we know that the book of James will tell us, too, that if any man lacks wisdom, that he should ask God, and God give it to them liberally. So that is the exercise that we should be engaged in, asking God for wisdom. And that it may sound simple, but if you're not doing it on a regular basis, you may fall short of receiving the wisdom you need in the time that you might need it. And then there is the gift of knowledge. And the knowledge, to exercise knowledge, is to read and absorb the Word of God. The knowledge that comes from God, if you're not receiving it as a miracle, if you will, it is in basic instructions before leaving earth. And the more that you read it, the more that you will understand and receive that understanding. And that is the exercise. The exercise in faith. It has to do with your belief. And we know if you do not believe, you cannot achieve. It is just like the teaching method of the academic world, where they told the story of the little locomotive that thought it could. It couldn't do it until it reached the top of the mountain, and all the way up to the top of the mountain, that's what it repeated. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. So you must believe, and that belief has to be put into action. And that action is that you walk by faith and not by sight. You have to exercise that understanding that you will receive that. I see that we're getting ready to come to the end of the show this evening. So at least wisdom, knowledge, faith are the three that we have touched upon tonight. And we will get into the others as we continue our exercise in the drills that I present, other than the instructions.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.